Okay, thanks for the introduction. I have no, all the authors have no conflicts of interest to report, and this research was funded by NIDA and NIAAA. So just to start with a general discussion of the topic of intimate partner violence, or IPV, and substance use, substance abuse. There have been several different ideas put out there to explain the connection between these two behaviors. I've got a few of them listed here, some of the more frequently cited explanations. The first on the list is this general deviance idea, which is that individuals who are likely to be aggressive are also likely to use substances, and it's some third underlying disordered personality, something like that, that's causing both of these behaviors, but they're not necessarily causally linked to each other. And from my own experience, this seems to be the more predominantly held viewpoint in practice. I know when I was trained as an intern at a Service Center for Victims of Domestic Violence, we were given a pamphlet from our State Office of Domestic Violence that very clearly stated in that pamphlet that substance use and intimate partner violence and domestic violence are two separate issues that should be dealt with separately. So that's one take on the association. Second is psychopharmacological effects. So looking into whether or not the biological effects of substance use, whether it be acute use or chronic use, changes the brain in such a way that makes an individual more likely to be aggressive. And then third, I want to talk about these multifactorial models that have been put out there that get into risk factors for IPV more broadly speaking. An example of this, one of my colleagues, Dr. Ken Leonard, has talked about this distal proximal effects model. And essentially, the idea is that any individual has any number of risk factors for intimate partner violence that sort of sets a baseline threshold for their likelihood of engaging in violent behavior, whether it be growing up in a violent household or having disordered personality, whatever it may be. That sort of sets that baseline. And then in any given moment, there's contextual things going on that can bump that individual up over their threshold. So it's the interaction between these more temporally distal and proximal risk factors that generates an incident of aggression towards your partner. And substance use can fit into that model. If it's chronic substance use, you can see it as sort of changing, possibly changing an individual's baseline threshold that they're more or less likely to act aggressively due to the damaging effects of substance use on your brain. And acute substance use, an easy example is alcohol intoxication, could interact with other environmental things going on to increase the likelihood that that individual is going to get bumped up above their violence threshold. So I just wanted to give a general background for this topic. This study specifically was looking at intimate partner violence over the transition to marriage. There's been an interest in that time period. Some of you have probably heard the saying, marriage license is a hitting license. And also there's interest in that time period because couples, as they're getting married, may be amenable to screening and intervention. Through couples therapy, those kinds of things at the time of marriage. So in that context, there's been study of alcohol use as a predictor of intimate partner violence over the transition to marriage. Other commonly used substances haven't been researched as much, for example, marijuana. And what's really important here is this third bullet. We, I think, have a sense that substance use can contribute to tendencies to be aggressive or severity of aggressiveness in particular situations, but we have a really poor understanding of for whom that is the case for and what situations that's true. And that really limits our ability to apply any type of this knowledge to actual practice from a prevention or intervention standpoint. So for this study, we are interested in looking at some moderators of an association between alcohol and marijuana use at the time of marriage, and then IPV perpetrated over the first 4 years of marriage for both husbands and wives. And we were interested in looking at antisocial behavior as a moderator and spousal alcohol and marijuana use, substance use as moderators. Now, why those two specifically? Antisocial behavior we were interested in because there's been attempts to, I'm sure some of you are aware of, sort of classify different subtypes of intimate partner violence, and one way that you can classify intimate partner violence is based on whether or not it's rooted in general antisocial tendencies. So generally aggressive people involved in criminal justice, that kind of thing. And then spousal alcohol, marijuana use, there's a growing body of literature demonstrating that partners' substance use interacts and influence each other's behaviors and certainly influences relationships outcomes such as relationship satisfaction, that kind of thing. But hasn't really been looked into too much whether or not interactions between spouses or partners' substance use increases risk for intimate partner violence specifically. So for this study, we analyzed data from the adult development study. Couples were recruited as they applied for their marriage license in Buffalo, New York. Out of 887 eligible couples who completed a brief baseline interview, 634 completed the first wave of data collection. And then they were subsequently mailed follow-up surveys at their first, second, and fourth anniversaries. This study, importantly, was limited to couples who reported IPV perpetration by either spouse at the time of marriage. And I do want to make a point that for this study, we're looking at physical IPV perpetration specifically. The reason we selected for that sample is because if you're thinking about any type of intervention at the time of marriage, it would likely be the case that you would screen for intimate partner violence and then try to address some contributing factors, such as potentially substance use. So for this subsample, the mean age was 27.7 years for husbands, 25.6 years for wives. A little bit over half of the sample was European American, and the majority had at least a high school education and were employed at least part-time. 71% of the couples completed the fourth wave of data collection. Wives lost, there were some sociodemographic differences between those lost to follow-up and those not lost to follow-up. Wives who were lost follow-up were younger and less likely to be European American. Husbands were less likely to be European American. And both husbands and wives reported more frequent binge drinking, those that were lost to attrition, although those differences were small. For IPV perpetration, we used the conflict tactics scale and generated a measure of past year frequency of intimate partner violence perpetration. So again, these are individuals who reported engaging in IPV perpetration at during the year prior to marriage, and then we're looking at the frequency with which they perpetrated IPV over the first 4 years of marriage. We looked at, for substance use, we looked at frequency of binge drinking at the time of marriage, and then their frequency of marijuana use at the time of marriage. For the analyses, we used these generalized multivariate multi-level models, and that was just essentially to account for the longitudinal nature of the data as well as the count distribution of our outcome variable. And we looked at three-way interactions between those variables of interest. So for the prediction, for example, for the prediction of husband perpetrated IPV, we looked at three-way interactions between husband's marijuana use, husband's antisocial behavior, and wives' marijuana use. So sort of that interplay between antisocial personality and the partner's substance use. And in our models, we adjusted for gender, age, employment status, education, household income, and the parental status at the time of marriage. So to get into some results here, the figures represent three-way interactions, so they're not exactly intuitive to interpret. So I'll walk you through it a little bit. This first outcome we're looking at here is husbands perpetrated IPV predicted by their binge drinking and moderation by husband's antisocial behavior and the wives' binge drinking. And there's only one of these slopes was significant, and it's that solid black line. And those were husbands who scored low on antisocial personality and whose wives used alcohol infrequently. And I'll get into the what we think is the interpretation of that finding in a second here. But we found the same pattern for wives, a consistent pattern for wives who were perpetrating IPV, that line was significant for those scoring low on antisocial behavior and whose husbands engaged in binge drinking infrequently. So the infrequent spousal substance use is tapping into this idea of discordant use. And I just want to mention that quickly. So we're talking about alcohol predicting IPV when there's discord in the frequency with which the partners are binge drinking. There were less significant findings for marijuana use. We only found one significant association. It's that solid black line. It was for husbands who scored low on antisocial behavior. Marijuana use significantly predicted more frequent IPV perpetration.
I just wanted to clarify a question last slide.
Mm-hmm.
You can go back.
Yep. Mm-hmm. So just to be clear, you're asking about wives binge drinking,
right,
how that relates to husbands' IPV perpetration?
No, so we're looking at whether the act of binge drinking predicts, but are you looking at that binge drinking associated or the frequency of binge drinking, the predictor variable here?
Frequency of binge drinking. Yeah.
Okay.
Yep. Okay. Mm-hmm.
It seems like there's a tautology going on here, right? That I would consider IPV antisocial.
Mm-hmm.
So how can you be looking at antisocial factors in an antisocial behavior? It seems like there's a tautology there. I don't see the justification for.
Mm-hmm. Okay, yeah, I'm going to actually touch on that in just a couple slides. I'll come back to that. So the association between wives' marijuana use and wives' IPV perpetration was non-significant. So just to summarize the results, frequency of binge drinking was most consistently associated with IPV perpetration for those scoring low on antisocial behavior. And among those whose spouses binge drank infrequently or used marijuana infrequently. Husband's frequency of marijuana use is associated with greater frequency of IPV perpetration for those scoring low on antisocial behavior. So to get back to the how these results fit into these models and to touch on this issue of antisocial versus not antisocial. You're right. I agree with you. Any type of violence that you're enacting on somebody else is an antisocial behavior. So it's sort of semantics, and labeling intimate partner violence that's rooted in antisocial behavior as that the IPV for individuals who are engaging in other types of antisocial behaviors. Because obviously not everybody who is violent towards a partner is generally violent. Not everybody that's violent towards their partner is using substances or in other ways getting involved with the criminal justice system. This could be individuals with borderline personality disorder where it's attachment, really serious attachment issues that are generating these feelings of extreme jealousy and causing the violence. Or it could be just to use what Johnson's research calls situational couples violence, where couples are engaging in conflict towards each other. They have poor conflict resolution tactic skills and turn to physical aggression to try to resolve that conflict. So it's not necessarily rooted in general. Does that kind of make sense?
What puts the onus on, I think if you're saying the antisocial behavior is external, somehow external to the domestic violence situation, and looking at that, that seems to make some sense in terms of all these antisocial personality disorder people.
Right.
The behavior, I think the behavior, if you just go to the behavior, I think you run into that cycle.
Yeah, and that was that we didn't have an actual measure of antisocial personality, so we just had antisocial behavior as a marker for that. So in terms of this general deviance idea, the fact that we didn't find associations among those who score high on antisocial behavior suggests that that's partially true, right? These individuals are engaging in an intimate partner violence, they're generally antisocial, and their substance use doesn't seem to predict increased frequency of IPV. Yeah?
I'm a little confused. If they're scoring high on antisocial, you must have had an instrument of some sort.
Yeah, yeah.
What was that instrument? How did you decide to put them into that bucket?
It was Zucker and Knoll's antisocial behavior scale.
Okay. Which does not include IPV per se.
No, it doesn't.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. That's a really good thought, and no, we didn't have any measure of dominance control in this study, and I think that's an important direction. This is just starting to tap into that, and I think using different methodologies like daily data collection, those kinds of things, including contextual measures such as, you know, whether or not the violence is rooted in control and things like that, that's really where this needs to go to really start to tease apart for whom substance use may actually be a contributing factor for aggressive behavior and why that is the case. Yeah, it's a really good idea. As far as psychopharmacological effects goes, this study just was not designed to look into that, so you can't really say anything about that explanation, but does seem to fit into sort of a multifactorial model whereby that sort of taps into the discord piece where it's not just substance use that's increasing aggression. It seems to be in specific contexts and for specific types of individuals. And so looking further into that and teasing that apart is really where this needs to go before we can start to figure out how to address this stuff in any type of intervention or prevention strategy. So as far as limitations go, we used a single item to measure marijuana frequency, and couples weren't using marijuana extremely frequently. There was only one couple, I think, that was using even daily. So we're not tapping into really heavy marijuana use here. Our measure of IPV was general, and we didn't take context or severity into account. That's an issue with the conflict tactic scale, which I'm sure many of you are aware of. The context of the substance use wasn't considered, which is what you were kind of mentioning, and it wasn't measured at the event level, so any type of mechanisms we're talking about are purely speculative. Generalizability to clinical samples and also to non-heterosexual samples. It's the community sample of newly married couples. So how do these findings extend to other types of populations that also have issues with IPV? So I kind of already got into this. Clearly there's a need for more research to get into the complexities and nuances of this issue. And I do think it's important to acknowledge that substance use may contribute to IPV for some individuals and interact with other risk factors in situations. I'll leave it there. And then prospective studies and more sophisticated methodology is really needed to tap into those nuances and really start to figure this out. So, thank you. Any other questions?
So I just wanted to clarify, in the report of perpetration of violence, were you using an individual's report of his or her own violence or a report of partner's violence?
That's a good question. So both. We use a maximum report of either spouse's report of IPV. So we ask the wives how frequently they perpetrated IPV, how frequently their partner perpetrated IPV. And so, for example, for when we had our measure of wives IPV, it was the maximum of how much they reported IPV or how much their husbands reported that they had the wives had perpetrated IPV.
Mm-hmm. So you had both members of each couple.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting.
So if I understand correctly, you recruited when people were filing for their marriage license.
Mm-hmm.
There were about 800 or so of those, and your study was limited to 300 plus that said when they were going for their marriage license, there was violence.
Yeah. Yeah, at least. Yeah.
And then you followed up for 2 or 3 or 4 years.
Yep.
What happened over those 2 or 3 or 4 years?
What you'd expect. Violence declined, and a lot of that was because some couples who engaged in IPV ended up splitting up.
So, okay. Is Ben drinking a risk?
The victim is the binge drinking. Yeah, it was discord in these couples. That's actually not what we found. I can go back to figure here. So, oops, right here. Okay, so this line here is husbands who scored high in antisocial behavior and whose wives binge drank frequently. And so there is a trend positive slope there. So that could be what's going on there. And that would make sense if the husbands are scoring high in antisocial behavior. Generally speaking, that's probably typically more often what you're seeing in domestic violence service centers. And if you're thinking about date rape, well, that's we looked at the interactions, so I can only give the explanation for the results that we have. But there was that trend for wives in that situation, where they're more frequent wives. Yeah. Not hugely socio. There's a nice breakdown of race ethnicity as far as European and African American portions go, but beyond that, not much diversity. And this is also the subsample that reported IPV. So when you look at the broad sample, too, it's even more, like, the majority had more than high school education. The vast majority were employed at least part-time. So it's a general community sample. It's not, and so there is some diversity there, but we didn't focus specifically on low SES or anything like that. Yeah. Yes. Agreed.
One last comment and then we'll move on to our final speaker.
So, what do you think the implications are set for prevention and early intervention? The fact that people getting married, you know, already have these, one third of them have physical violence. Like, what would you do to sort of prevent that, you know, or educate those people at the time they're getting married, that we know they have high rates of divorce.
Yeah.
So that alone might be a good entry into, you know, but I'm just curious what you would recommend.
So, specifically regarding substance use, it's, we still just don't know enough to really say. I mean, we could do blanket brief interventions for substance use. There are effective education sorts of interventions that have been implemented for couples getting married that improve marital outcomes. Like, there's a framework for intervening at the time of marriage that's got evidence in support of it. And those types of interventions don't address substance use and they don't address intimate partner violence. So that's an area that could potentially be expanded to include those types of issues. Specifically, how to do that is not totally clear, but yeah.